Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Ready? See if you can identify these 5 clips in the order that they're played. It could be from a song, a movie, a TV show, or something else. But if it's coming from this podcast, then you know that it's from Generation X. Listen closely. Good luck.
There's a man on the wing of this plane!
Welcome to Who Will Save Generation X, the trivia game show that is dedicated to remembering, celebrating, and preserving all the wonderful qualities of Generation X through games, trivia, and friends. I am Zabe, your host, and today we have 2 great contestants ready to compete for ultimate slacker prizes, and in the process do their part to save Generation X from being forgotten. Are you ready to do your part? Please play along with the contestants while you listen and see what rad prize you would have wanted if you were here with us, saving Generation X from fading into oblivion. We're so happy that you've chosen to join us, and I'm sure you're going to get a nice dose of nostalgia and maybe a few laughs along the way. So if everyone's ready, let's start the show. The show today is our 4th annual Halloween Spooky Spectacular. This is a very special episode, and it's one that I've been looking forward to, as the judges and I are big fans of Halloween and love to celebrate reminiscing about the holiday as we experienced it in our youth. There's something here for everyone, I hope. But seeing how it's a very special episode, please don't expect to hear any sort of life lessons about not playing inside an old refrigerator that you found in a junkyard, or words of wisdom from KB Toys.
When you drive during the holidays, we at KB Toy Stores would like to remind you, a car is not a toy.
No, this episode is our Gen X tribute to all things spooky, scary, and fun about Halloween. So, if you'd like to reminisce about Ghostbusters, Twin Peaks, and the scary movies of 1980s, or just like celebrating the creepy time of year that is Halloween, then this episode is one you might especially like. We're going to save the spooky pop culture nostalgia of Gen X from being forgotten today with these 2 returning Gen Xers as they share their memories of life growing up during Generation X. Let's give a very quick hello to each of them now. Let's first welcome to the show a returning guest who lost last time we played, despite some slight controversy. She's looking to get some revenge here tonight. Please welcome back to the show, Rachel.
Rachel!
Hey, so glad to be here, Zabe. Excited to be a part of the Halloween special.
We're happy to have you as well, Rachel. Let's also welcome back to the show, Rachel's husband, a Gen Xer who spent much of his childhood playing with unexploded ordnance near a military base on a jungle island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. That sounds like a setup to a scary 80s movie to me. Please welcome back, Paul. Thanks for coming back, Paul.
Hey, Zabe. I'm really glad to be here and looking forward to winning by a large margin.
Oh, my gosh. No, I'm winning this time.
We will find out, guys. Thanks so much to each of you for making the time to be here tonight, especially at short notice. It was a wonderful thing to have friends like you to fill in and be here tonight. Longtime listeners of the show might remember that Paul and Rachel are not only generous Patreon supporters, but also the parents of our producer, Robin. That little fact might make things a little more interesting later on in round two. But for now, let's give a quick overview of how we play the game. The show is broken up into three rounds of trivia and games. Whoever has the most points at the end of round three wins a chance at today's Rad Slacker prize. And let me tell you, this prize vault could be the best prize vault we've ever had on the podcast.
So
I'm excited about it. It's a lie. It sucks.
Okay.
The Power Struggle.
We kick off the show tonight with a game we like to call the Power Struggle. And in this game, I'll play for you five quick clips from Generation X, and you need to name those five clips in the order that they are played. These are all from something Halloween-related, spooky, or at least Halloween-adjacent. At any time during the episode, contestants can interrupt the game and declare that they want to solve the Power Struggle question. They only get one chance to answer it correctly, and if they are correct, then they instantly steal the power away from their opponent. And as an added wrinkle to the game, if you solve the Power Struggle this episode, you'll be awarded a whopping 20 bonus points to your score. We'll play the clip a couple of times during the episode, so listen close and see if you can solve the Power Struggle. We're going to jump right into round one now and get the games rolling.
Round one.
You know, guys, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the first game of the show. It's a game we call the Facts of Life.
The Facts of Life. The Facts of Life.
In this game, we take facts about a topic, and players take turns to try to identify them on the list. An incorrect answer will get you a strike, and the player that gets three strikes loses the round. If nobody gets three strikes by the end of this round, then the winner will be declared by the player that has the most points. The winner of round one will receive the power.
The power.
Which allows the player who has it to make all the choices first in the game and wins all ties as long as they control the power. The Facts of Life list this episode is pretty straightforward. We have a list of names or titles, and you need to tell me if you think that they are either a Gen X horror movie.
You want to see something really scary?
Yeah.
A heavy metal band name.
Legend!
Or an adult film title.
Me love you long time. Now what's right, me so right. Horny.
You'll score 1 point for each that you get correct.
You got me on the adult film title. I compete.
We played a game earlier today where we gave each of these contestants an address in their city and told them they needed to race to see who could get there first using only a Thomas guide. And Rachel was able to navigate their way before Paul could.
Woohoo!
Listeners, you can play this game yourself at home with your kids as well. It's a hoot. So Rachel, you're going to go first in Facts of Life by telling me if you think the following is a Gen X horror movie, a heavy metal band name, or an adult film title. The first title is called The Driller Killer.
That sounds like an adult film.
It does sound like an adult film, but it's not.
Oh my gosh. Is that a movie?
It is a Gen X movie from 1979. Here's the plot. An artist slowly goes insane while struggling to pay his bills and care for his two female roommates, which leads him to taking to the streets of New York after dark and randomly killing derelicts with a power drill.
Yikes!
Yeah.
Okay, well, I missed that one then.
I'm surprised you didn't watch that one, Rachel. It seems like we're right up your alley. I know how you feel about derelicts.
Well, also, I was 9, so...
Not a lot of power tool killer movies in the 9-year-old lineup? No.
No, not much.
I mean, the first half of that sounds like a adult film title. Not being able to pay your bills and living with two female roommates. But believe it or not, but this movie has 2 remakes and a 3rd one is currently in production.
Driller Killer.
It's got a bit of a cult following, but boy, watch the trailer. It is straight garbage. Okay, so that's no point for you, Rachel. Over to you, Paul. Here's your title. Is this a horror movie, a heavy metal band name, or an adult film title? The title is The Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, wasn't this a 3-person power band called The Bermuda Triangle? Like, I really want to say that, but I'm going to go with movie.
Going with movie is a good choice because it is indeed a Gen X horror movie. I think it's a little bit unfair to give this question to Paul, seeing how he... Did you grow up in the Bermuda Triangle? Was that one of the islands that you lived on?
No, it was a long way from there.
Bermuda's in the Atlantic.
Okay. This show doesn't have geography on it, one of the questions, so we're going to just move on.
I still think it would have been a good power trio band.
Yeah, I saw where you're going with that. This is indeed a Gen X horror movie from 1978. I mean, of course it is. It's called The Bermuda Triangle. What else could be more Gen X topic for a horror film than that? The movie stars 2-time Academy Award winner John Huston. Here's the plot. The passengers and crew of a ship on a scuba diving trip in the Caribbean, stray into the famed Bermuda Triangle, and mysterious and deadly things start happening.
Was it a scuba diving trip?
Did I say scuba driving? Yes, they were scuba driving. I'm not sure how you do that. Maybe it's one of those like little submarine things.
Oh, little, yeah.
Scuba those driving? You don't know, man.
Yeah.
You haven't seen the movie?
I actually think I saw that on TV.
When you were 8?
No, but I mean, I think I saw it like later when it was like on the afternoon movies, you know, before Love Boat would come on, they would have afternoon movies. And I believe I saw it.
Well, here's the joke about this, Rachel, is apparently there's an evil doll that possesses a little girl and people start dying in this sci-fi mystery horror film. And you might have seen it because it was for reals rated G.
What?
In 1978.
Jeez. That does not sound familiar, but I'm almost positive I watched that movie.
Well, let's see if you have any idea what this one is. Rachel, this one's for you. Is this next one a Gen X horror movie, a heavy metal band name, or an adult film title? It's called Bad Taste.
I'm pretty sure that's a rock band.
I'm pretty sure that you're wrong.
Well, then I don't want to know what it is.
Well, fine film aficionados with good taste will instantly recognize Bad Taste as the very low-budget, comedically gory first-ever film by Academy Award winner director Peter Jackson of Lord of the Rings fame. Peter Jackson and his buddies made this movie on the weekends over the course of 4 years, and it paved the way for Jackson to make it in the movie business. During his acceptance speech at the 1984 Academy Awards, Jackson mentioned Bad Taste by joking that it had been wisely overlooked by the Academy. This movie tells the story of a small town in New Zealand being replaced by aliens that chase down human flesh for their intergalactic fast food chain.
It's a good time for the great taste.
Ooh, that does sound terrible.
It's a classic. If you like these kinds of low-budget B-movie gore flicks, I've seen this one actually. It features amateur actors, homemade special effects, homemade weapons, and what perhaps can only be described as the Citizen Kane of rocket launcher meets sheep moment in cinematic history.
That sounds wonderful.
Paul, we're going back to you. Is this next thing a Gen X horror movie, heavy metal band name, or an adult film title? It's called The 69 Eyes.
Well, Bill and Ted was Wild Stallions, so I'm having a hard time with 69 Eyes. Rachel didn't seem to recognize it, so I don't think it's an adult film. So, yeah, I'm going to have to go with a horror movie.
Is it a horror movie? I'm sorry, that's incorrect. It's a heavy metal band formed in 1989 from Finland.
Yeah, of course.
The 69 Eyes have released 14 studio albums and have toured all over the world. Yeah, they're no joke.
All right.
They are led by their frontman named Jerky 69. Their lyrics are often inspired by movies, especially gothic horror films such as The Lost Boys, The Crow, and The Last House on the Left, among many others. According to Jerky, quote, half of 69 Eyes songs are wannabe movie songs. Their drummer is named Juicy 69, and despite having the same last name as Jerky, they are not related.
Yeah, Juicy 69. I remember that.
It's either Juicy or Jussie. It's in like Dutch or whatever the heck they speak over there. So maybe it's a common last name in Finland. It just happens to be 69.
69, dudes!
Back to you, Rachel. See if you can get on the board here. Is this a Gen X horror movie, heavy metal band name, or an adult film title? It's called Black Death.
I think that's a band.
A heavy metal band name is correct. Well done.
Oh, finally, on the board.
Yes. It's a heavy metal band formed in 1977 who are still active today. Black Death is an American band who have been noted as the first all-African-American heavy metal band. Their lead singer is named Siki Spacek, not to be confused with the horror classic film Carrie star Sissy Spacek, of whom, again, there is no relation. And finally, our last title in the Facts of Life game this episode is for you, Paul. Tell me, is this a Gen X horror movie, heavy metal band name, or an adult film title? It's called Shocker.
Do you recognize it?
No, but I know what I would guess.
Okay, so it's not an adult film.
Okay. I hope it's not. Jeez.
Well, there's three options. After. We've only had
you know what I'm going to go with
and bands.
I'm going to go with it if, just because of that. I'm going to go with the adult film. We haven't had that out yet.
And you fell for the trap. Sorry.
Really?
It is indeed a Gen X horror movie. This one might be the most tricky on the list as it has elements of all three of these topics. The plot of the movie is, after being sent to the electric chair, a serial killer uses electricity to come back to life and carry out his vengeance on the football player who turned him into the police. The heavy metal connection here is that the movie has music from a metal supergroup composed of Paul Stanley of Kiss, Whitesnake's Rudy Sarzo, Motley Crue's Tommy Lee on drums, and Van Halen bassist Michael Anthony. The band was called The Dudes of Wrath.
The Dudes of Wrath?
Well, I'm not going to forgive you, Zabe. I knew that you throw those traps out, and I stepped right into it.
Yeah, you sure did. As for the adult movie bit, this movie went through some heavy editing to get it down from an X rating to an R rating. And despite the name of the movie and the fact that it starred a character called Mr. Pinker, I can assure you that there is no characters in the movie called Mr. Stinker.
That should be a half point, don't you think?
Possibly. In the interest of time, we only have six titles on the list. So here are the others that we were going to ask. So listeners, these are just for you. Are these Gen X horror movies, heavy metal band names, or, you know, an adult film title? We were going to choose Rabid Grannies, Scared Stiff, The Stuff, Humongous, A Stranger Is Watching. Please note there's no hyphen in this next one. It's called Pumpkinhead. Or finally, Men Behind the Sun. And I'm not going to tell you how sun is spelt in this title.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Okay.
If you guess adult film titles on any of these, then shame on you. This is a family show, and we would never feature porn titles on this podcast. Officially speaking, that these are all Gen X horror film titles, but you never really truly know unless you Google them for yourself. And we recommend that you do not use your work computer to do so. Robin, can you please tell us the score after one round?
It's a tie game, 1-1.
So no half point for that.
We deal in half points, but they're rounded down. So, sorry. We will give you the half point. Half point? Yes, but we're going to round down. So now you only have 1 point. That's how math works.
Love it.
Sounds like you got an A in the math test.
Before we start round two, let's take a moment to better meet our contestants. The judges are the gatekeepers of all things Gen X here on the show. And to that end, they are requesting to know from our contestants about their Gen X credentials. That is, apart from being born between 1965 and 1980, what qualifies you to claim yourself as part of Generation X and what might potentially disqualify you from being Gen X? Welcome back to the show, Rachel.
Rachel!
Please tell us a little bit about yourself. Please include your Halloween Gen X qualifiers and potential disqualifiers.
So, Zabe, I'm going to start with my disqualifier, which is I have not seen like Freddy Krueger or Nightmare on Elm Street, any of those. I don't do scary movies, so I have not seen any of those. And it is sad because I get left out of a lot of conversations because I don't know what's happening.
You know that was the same movie, right?
It was?
Yeah.
Oh. See? I think I said my disqualifier last time is I've never seen Poltergeist.
I think that's true.
Anyway, but that's my disqualifier. Only to say that my favorite Halloween movie is The Lost Boys. Paul and I went and saw it on one of our first dates. And he actually bought me the soundtrack, the album. I still have it in vinyl. It's a really good album.
I don't know if it's a good move or a bad move to surround yourself on a first date when you have on screen Kiefer Sutherland in his prime and the shirtless saxophone guy. The eyes might be going someplace else other than you, Paul. So I don't know if it's a good move or bad move. But it must have worked out because she married you. So
yeah.
Yeah, I would say at that age, I didn't have a lot of good moves. So he's just kind of lucky.
And he may or may not have gotten it for a penny from the
Columbia House.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
They're looking for the rest of that 1995, though, Paul. They're coming for you.
I'm sure there's a collection agency out there somewhere.
Well, thanks for coming back, Rachel.
Happy to be here.
Also, let's welcome back to the show the reigning family champ, Paul. After listening to Rachel's feelings about scary movies, I think you might have stacked the deck for going back to back in a repeat here, but we'll see. Tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself and give them your Gen X Halloween qualifiers and potential disqualifiers.
Yeah, so really glad to be here. Feeling pretty confident about tonight's game. For a Gen X qualifier, I can still smell the plastic masks. You know, that smell when you had it on your face, that sticks with me. I also, you know, developed the same plan that I think most of us did, that we would hide some of the good candy so we could avoid the dad tax when we got home. So, yeah. You know, you had to keep that to the side. And I think my disqualifier would be, at the time it came out, I did not appreciate Thriller. Wasn't my forte. Probably one of the best albums of all time now. I've come to appreciate it. But at the time, I wasn't a big fan.
Outrageous.
I remember that smell of that mask as well, Paul. It reminded me something kind of a cross between candy corn and suffocation.
And what was it with the like super thin elastic thing that would go around the back to hold it on?
Yeah, it lasted maybe half the night before it was like dangling from one ear. Before we start round two, let's take another listen to The Power Struggle.
There's a man on the wing of this plane!
Rachel, not knowing anything about horror movies, I'm dying to know what she's going to say for The Power Struggle.
This is the closest I've ever been, for real. And nice. I think I might have it, but we'll see.
I'll be eating those words. I look forward to it.
All right.
Round two of this game is called Eight is Enough. In this game, I'll ask a total of 8 questions, 4 to each of our contestants. Points are awarded for each correct answer. 2 points for a complete correct answer, and 1 pity point for a partial correct answer if they can convince the judges for it. Players take turns answering the questions with a chance to steal if their opponent answers incorrectly. A steal is worth 1 point, but more importantly, a steal also takes the power away from their opponent. The judges require that all questions must be given an answer, no matter how incorrect they might be. So here on the show, if you say some form of I don't know, you will lose a point and you'll get slimed. Whoever has the most points at the end of the round two will take a secret trip to the prize vault and choose the prize that the two of you will be playing for in the episode. Let's play Eight is Enough. So we ended as a tie in round one, so nobody has a clear cut for the power. Rachel, if you can sing me the last couple lines to Eight is Enough, we'll award you the power. Go.
Eight is enough to fill our lives with love.
Yay! Okay, congratulations, Rachel. You've won round one, and that means you have the power.
The power is yours.
Okay, Rachel, you have the power. That means you get to pick between these two questions. Will it be how avant-garde of you? It is a movie question. I don't know why I'm doing French there. Or will it be, wasn't it around here that the Donner Party got snowbound? Which is also a movie question. So, horror movie or horror movie? Which one are you going to pick?
Let's do horror movie number one.
How avant-garde of you. Interview with a Vampire is the 1994 film adaptation of Anne Rice's novel. It caused a resurgence in the vampire book and movie genres that lasted well into the 2010s. That's right, millennials. Gen X was behind the Twilight series the whole time. Interview with a Vampire features some exceptional performances, including Tom Cruise as the charismatic Lestat and Brad Pitt as the tortured Louis. Its lush gothic visuals, complex characters, and exploration of immortal angst resonated with audiences and repopularized the vampire genre. Here's your question. Which actor, in one of her earliest roles, portrayed the child vampire Claudia? Was it A, Brittany Murphy, B, Michelle Williams, C, Claire Danes, D, Kirsten Dunst, or is it E, deepfake Dame Judi Dench?
I am going to guess Claire Danes.
You are going to guess incorrectly. I'm sorry, Rachel. Paul, you get a chance to steal this, get a point, and take the power.
No.
So the only person I know on the list, and so that's what I'm going to guess, is Kirsten Dunst.
Is it Kirsten Dunst or Kirsten Dunst? Which one are you saying?
The right pronunciation is what I'm saying.
Judges, well done. That's a steal and a point for you. You've just taken the power.
Steal the power.
Boo.
Dunst, who was 12 at the time, wasn't allowed to watch the film when it was released because her parents thought it would be too scary for her. But I guess playing a vampire opposite two A-listers wasn't, eh? Paul, this question is for you. It's called, wasn't it around here that the Donner Party got snowbound? Stephen King is one of the most acclaimed writers from Generation X, and his books and short stories have inspired countless iconic movies, also from Gen X, inside and outside the genre of horror. But maybe none are as iconic and influential as Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. Inspiring countless works of horror, this film is revered for its writing and the incredible performances by Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall. In the film, young Danny Torrance speaks of Tony and how he influences him throughout the movie. Danny can see Tony, but adults cannot, which leads them to think that he's just an imaginary friend. Here's your question. Why can't adults see Tony? Is it A, because he hides in Danny's stomach? B, because he lives in Danny's mouth? C, because he lives in Danny's finger? D, because you have to believe in Tony to see him, and adults don't believe in Tony? Or is it E, because Tony does whatever the hell he wants to, and he thinks it just feels good to hide from adults?
I have never seen that movie all the way through, so I'm going to say, and I can't remember what letter it is, but he hid in his stomach.
Option A, he hides in Danny's stomach, is a great guess. That is correct. Well done.
Wow.
That was pure guess.
Lucky.
Yeah, I'm more familiar with the Simpsons knockoff of The Shining.
Boy, you read my thoughts. You've got the shinin'.
You mean shining.
Shh, you want to get sued?
Here's the fun fact. Tony is never shown in the film, leaving his appearance entirely up to our imagination. He lives in Danny's mouth and hides in his stomach and appears to Danny by showing him a series of visions. And he manifests himself through Danny's finger wagging. During stressful times in Danny's life, he'll turn to Tony for advice. I'd say there's a little bit of Danny in all of us who do a little finger wagging at the things that stress us out. Robin, can you please give us a scoring update?
Absolutely. So Paul stole the power. Rachel has 1 point. Paul has 4.
As long as I don't guess Battlestar Galactica, okay, we're in a good spot.
That's a throwback to the earlier episode, guys. Go back and listen to it, listeners. So, Paul, you have the power. You get to pick between these two questions. Will it be Nobody Loved Laura But Us, which is a television question? Or will you pick He Respects Sincerity, which is a television holiday special question?
I'll go with the He Respects Authority.
That was one of sincerity. The
options. Sorry
he
about that.
He Respects Sincerity is when.
Yeah, sorry, I wasn't going South Park. South okay. Park. Yeah, no. Authority.
In It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, while everyone else is trick-or-treating, Linus is camping out in the pumpkin patch waiting for a mythical giant gourd to appear. Armed with unwavering faith and his blanket, he's convinced that the great pumpkin will finally make his grand entrance. Here's your question. When Linus falls asleep in the pumpkin patch, who comes to retrieve him? Is it A, Charlie Brown, B, Lucy, C, Snoopy, or is it D, the Great Pumpkin?
I want to say that it started to look like the Great Pumpkin. I'm going to go with Lucy.
I think that was one of the adult film titles as well.
Oh, good grief.
And it's also correct here.
Jeez.
I remember Snoopy being there, but I don't remember him taking him home.
He was too busy having his LSD trip fighting the Red Baron. Whatever reason he's right. Doing that.
Yeah.
There are so many iconic moments in this special. Like Charlie Brown trick-or-treating for rocks.
I got a rock.
Snoopy, as we've said, the World War I flying ace for whatever reason. But there's something sweet about Linus's unwavering faith and hope and the image of his big sister coming and getting him from the pumpkin patch and helping him to bed. Lucy was a horrible, horrible person, but she certainly did something very nice for her little brother. Charlie Brown holiday specials are great, but this might be the greatest of all of them. Rachel, this question is for you. It's called Nobody Loved Laura But Us. In David Lynch's TV masterpiece, an FBI agent investigates the mysterious murder of Twin Peaks homecoming queen, uncovering a web of eccentric characters and supernatural oddities. Twin Peaks was short-lived, but it has a strong cult following to this day. Here's your question. Which character was supposed to be in only one scene in one episode, but was so popular they became a show regular? Was it A, Audrey Horne? B, Sheriff Harry S. Truman? C, Laura Palmer? Or is it D, Agent Dale Cooper?
You know, all the people who love this show are just screaming the answer, I'm sure.
Yep.
I'm going to go with D.
Agent Dale Cooper, the main star, the FBI guy who in the setup I said was going to investigate? Is that the one you want?
No.
Go with B.
B?
I don't know. I've never seen
it. He's trying to trick you, Rachel. Don't fall for it. You pick anything you want to pick. I just want to be clear about what you want.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm going to go with A.
Audrey Horne is incorrect. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, this is so stressing me out. Okay.
Sorry.
Wait, I still think you have 1 point.
No, I know. Oh my gosh. It's
Paul,
all right.
You're not helping.
Sorry. I'm going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out.
Paul, you can steal this question and get another point if you want to. Or you can be a good husband and throw it and not get the right answer. It's up to you. It's up to you right now whether you want to choose to be a good husband or not.
I want to be a good husband, but I have not seen this show at all. And if I'm required to take a guess, I'm going to go with the ex-president, Harry S. Truman.
Harry S. Truman is incorrect as well. You're a good husband, Paul.
Woo!
The correct answer was C, Laura Palmer, the dead homecoming queen.
Yeah, I thought she was dead. I assumed I didn't.
Well, listen to this fun fact then.
All right.
When it was time to cast the murdered homecoming queen, Lynch decided to hire local and cheap since it was just for one scene and she'd only be playing a corpse. Cheryl Lee was a theater actor in Washington when she was cast in Twin Peaks. She became so iconic for Laura that they wrote an identical cousin for her so that she could continue acting in the show. It's the old identical cousin scam. Lynch became such a huge fan of Lee's and her work that he put her in several of his projects even after the show.
Awesome.
Robin, can you please give us a scoring update?
Rachel still has her 1 point. Awesome.
Well done.
Paul has 6.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
There's a lot of points left to be had in this game.
Don't fret.
Paul, you're in control because you have the power and you get to pick between these two questions. Will it be need some suspension work and shocks, which is a movie question, or will it be cinema soundcheck, which is a head-to-head challenge?
Oh, yeah. Head-to-head challenge.
Okay.
Give you some points there. Yeah, let's do that.
You can catch up right here with this question, Rachel.
This is it. You're on
it. Okay. All right.
For this question, I'll give you the titles of tracks for a musical score from a popular Gen X movie, and you need to tell me the title of the movie.
Oh, I love this one.
Movie scores are usually instrumentals with obscure titles, and that should give you the hints that you need to name the movie. We will go back and forth between each player who will give me a new movie title with each turn. Points will be awarded to the player that gets it correct on their turn. There are 8 track titles on the list, and the number of points you will receive for a correct answer will match the number of songs revealed. So, for example, if you get the movie title correct on song 3, you'll get 3 points, song 4, 4 points, and so forth, all the way up to as many as 8 points on the final track. So you can catch up right here.
All right.
The first song title is The Magic of Halloween. What movie is that from, Paul?
Halloween.
That is incorrect. Rachel, I'm going to tip the balance here a little bit and give you a hint in that you have seen this movie. I guarantee it. Song 2 is called The Closet. So we have The Closet and The Magic of Halloween.
It's not The Lost Boys, is it? That's my guess. Lost Boys.
That is incorrect. They were out of the closet in The Lost Boys. Paul, this one's for you. Song 3 is called The Encounter. So we have The Encounter, The Closet, and The Magic of Halloween. Sounds like a party I went to once.
Man, I'm trying to think of movies that you've seen that are horror movies, and I'm coming up with blanks. It's not Poltergeist. I can't say I don't know, so Poltergeist.
That is incorrect. Rachel, I'm going to give you another hint in saying that. Who said it was a horror movie?
Oh.
Rachel, here's song 4. It's called 3 Million Light Years from Home.
Oh, it's E.T.
Is it E.T.? That is correct. Well done. That's 4 points for you, Rachel.
Woohoo!
Okay, so for those playing at home that did not get it, I'm going to say all the song titles. We had The Magic of Halloween, The Closet, The Encounter, 3 Million Light Years From Home. Would you have gotten on song 5, which was The Beginning of a Friendship? Song 6 was I'm Keeping Him. Song 7 was Over the Moon. And if you didn't get it by then, song 8 was E.T. and Elliot Get Drunk.
Who wrote the soundtrack for E.T.? Was it Williams?
That is a great segue into my fun fact.
Oh.
Music by the undisputed greatest movie composer of all time, John Williams. E.T. is just one of many soundtracks that are etched in the minds of all Gen X movie lovers. While the music is fantastic, the title of the film, well, it's not. E.T. in E.T. the Extraterrestrial stands for Extraterrestrial. So the full name of the movie is Extraterrestrial, the Extraterrestrial.
Well, there you go.
We were kids. We didn't know any better.
I loved that movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Rachel, this question's for you. You can tie the score right now.
All right.
The correct answer. And I bet you've seen this movie too. It's called Need Some Suspension Work and Shocks. Who are you going to call? When New York City is overrun by ghosts, a team of wisecracking scientists headed up by Bill Murray are here to help. When Ray buys the vehicle that becomes Ecto-1, he tells the rest of the Ghostbusters that it needs, among other things, new shocks, brakes, brake pads, transmission, and a little wiring. He also shares the price of the vehicle in the scene. Rachel, do you remember how much Ray Stantz paid for Ecto-1? Is it A, $900, B, $2,100, C, $4,800, or is it D, $6,900?
69, dudes!
This episode is a rare double 69 episode.
Okay, my first car was a VW Bug, was $600. So I know back then you could buy something that actually ran for less than $1,000. I'm going to say $900.
Is that your final answer, Rachel?
That is my final answer.
Your final answer is incorrect. So sorry.
It was a hearse. You got to understand that it was a hearse.
Matter. It was a piece of junk.
Bigger than a...
It needed all those things.
So did the VW... Your VW Bug did not have reverse.
I know. So that's why I was saying it would be $900.
You had to park uphill.
No, downhill. I couldn't go backward. Downhill.
Gotcha.
All right, Paul.
I'm going with B.
B, $2,100 is incorrect as well.
He overpaid for that hearse then.
If it needs a new transmission and new brakes and new tires and everything. Okay.
He has a higher standard of vehicles than you guys do.
I guess so.
Oh, he probably counted in the paint job they had. That was probably expensive.
It was also New York City.
Oh, that's...
I should have known that.
Fair point. The correct answer is C, $4,800 for Ecto-1. I mean, the price of the personalized vanity plate alone would run him a few bucks.
Yeah, I should have thought of that.
The vehicle used for Ecto-1 was a 1958 Cadillac Centennial Ambulance and slightly modified for the film to be a limo-styled vehicle. Early concepts of the vehicle had it painted all black with purple accents before the set designers decided to go with the red and white so that it would pop more on screen. Although I think I'm speaking for most people when I say the purple and black one sounded like it'd be pretty cool.
Well, it also sounds like the Munsters. Isn't that what their car looked like?
No, their car was black and white because that's all the episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Robin, one more scoring update.
Absolutely. It's a much closer game now. Paul has 6 points. Rachel has 5.
Paul, you still have the power as we go into our last pair of questions. You get to pick between these two. Will it be, what's this? Why, it's a question about The Nightmare Before Christmas. Or will you choose, does Robin know? Which is a millennial challenge mini game.
Ooh.
Both of those sound like really bad options to me. But Nightmare Before Christmas, I am not an expert. I never have enjoyed that film. I don't know that I've watched it all the way through. So we'll have to go with the millennial thing.
Does Robin know? In this game, we are going to pick a totally random millennial from the audience and ask them 3 Gen X general knowledge questions, and the contestants will take turns guessing if they think the millennial will know the answer or not. If the contestants guess correctly, they will score 1 point, and they will also receive a related trivia question to the answer for a potential 2-point bonus. However, if they guess wrong and our millennial can get it correct, then they will lose 2 points.
Uh-oh. Okay. And this is good. I like this one. Yeah. All right.
Since we only have one millennial not playing in the game today, looks like it's going to be once again our producer, Robin. The game is designed to ask the average millennial these easy-ish questions, but take note, there's nothing average at all about Robin. She is exceptional, but, you know, she's still just a millennial and may not have even been born yet since this stuff was even around. So please keep that in mind as we play. Paul, you get a question number one. Listen up, Robin. The question is, Dawkins' song Dream Warrior was a single for the third film of what horror film series? Do you think your daughter, Robin, will get that correct or not? Does Robin know?
Oh, no way. No, she won't get it.
You just not only say no, you say no way.
No way.
Little faith in your little girl. Robin?
Dream Warrior?
Yeah.
And what? You said horror film franchise, right?
Third film of what horror film series? Yes, I did say that.
Okay. I am going to guess Nightmare on Elm Street.
In your face, Paul.
No.
Robin, you got that correct. Paul, that you got it incorrect. That means you get slimed and you lose 2 points. One more just for good measure.
For the record, I knew Robin would know that.
Okay. I wasn't sure I knew it.
Robin, I'm going to throw in a new rule in the middle of the game, in the middle of the episode.
Let's do it. We're still working it out.
In normal rules here, we wouldn't hear the 2-point bonus. Remember we had that last time?
Yeah.
And we're like, how do we figure that out? I think the opponent should be able to get the 2-point question if this scenario happens.
I think so too.
So Rachel, by virtue of rules I'm making up here on the spot, we're going to let you get the 2-point bonus question to see if you can steal it. The 2-point bonus question is, who is the star of A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors? Was it A, Heather Langenkamp as Nancy Thompson? B, Patricia Arquette as Kristen Parker? C, Lawrence Fishburne as Max Daniels? Or is it D, Zsa Zsa Gabor as herself?
I'm going to go with B.
B is a great answer. You got it correct. Well done. That is a 4-point switch, kids.
And she pulls ahead.
Not a main, not a main, notch, notch, not a main, say no more.
Battlestar Galactica.
Here's your fun fact. While all of these actors are in the movie, the star of the film was option B, Patricia Arquette as Kristen Parker. Patricia Arquette reprises her role in the music video for the heavy metal band Dawkins' song Dream Warrior. At an event to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the movie, Dawkins performed a stripped-down acoustic version of this song. And when you're an 80s heavy metal band in a Hollywood party to celebrate a teen slasher flick, what better way to do that than to bust out the old Ovation CC11 acoustic guitar? Well done, guys. You can hear more about Dawkins in my upcoming podcast with my buddy Bill Bell in our show called Talkin' Dawkins. Rachel, this one's for you. The question is, the video for which 1987 Grateful Dead song depicts the band as instrument playing skeletons? Which song was that? Do you think Robin will know that?
Gosh.
We all saw that video a million times on MTV.
We talked about this video tonight.
I know, but I don't know. This isn't something I think, I'm not sure if Robin knows this one. I'm going to guess that she does. I think she can answer this.
Oh, man. Your downfall is going to be your faith in me, Mom.
Ugh.
I'm sorry. Grateful Dead. I'm not sure I know a single song. Let me think.
If you know one, it would be this one.
Yeah, that's the problem. I'm like, I'm going to have to just say a title because I don't want to get slimed. And then the title's not even going to be a Grateful Dead song. Let's do This Is Halloween.
Surprisingly, that is incorrect. So that's no point for you, Rachel, because you guessed that she would, and she did not.
You now have to look at YouTube and watch this video.
I will.
The song is good. It's a great song.
Paul, what's the song?
It's Touch of Grey.
That is correct. A Touch of Grey was the song. Touch of Grey reached number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart and peaked at number 1 on the mainstream rock charts. So, Paul, here's your 2-point bonus question, since Rachel didn't get that correct. Touch of Grey reached number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart and peaked at number 1 on the mainstream rock charts. Here's your question. What other Grateful Dead song made the top 40 Billboard Hot 100? Was it A, Casey Jones, B, Truckin', C, Uncle John's Band, or D, Touch of Grey is the only top 40 song by the Grateful Dead?
Wow. Why did you throw in the last one? That's rough. Because it's either Truckin' or it's that one. I'm going to say Truckin'. I really like the song. Out of respect for the Grateful Dead, I'm saying Truckin'.
Out of disrespect for all kinds of comedy, I'm going to say, Paul, you better keep on trucking with that kind of answer.
Oh, boo.
Because that's incorrect.
The only one was Touch of Grey.
The correct answer was D. Touch of Grey was the only 40 song by the Grateful Dead.
But trucking is such a great song.
You know what? The Grateful Dead has really grown on me over the years. And yeah, it's a shame that they haven't had more commercial success. But they are legends in the industry, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I knew it was one of the two.
And now for my favorite question of the whole night. Paul, do you think Robin will know what C-U-H-D, CHUD, stands for? Does Robin know? There's a lot of horror movie film fans screaming at their podcast player right now.
Yeah, it's not that I am missing the boat on this one. I'm just trying to figure out if she does. But, you know, I don't know what Riz means, so... so... I'm going to say no, she doesn't know.
Can I play this round just for fun, guys?
Yeah.
Ain't no way in hell Robin knows what CHUD stands for. Ain't no way. But I'm just playing for fun. Robin, prove the boys in this room wrong.
Oh, man. I'm like trying to come up with anagrams that make sense based on what you guys have said. You said fans of horror movies are screaming?
I did sneak in that subtle hint.
Why do I feel like it stands for like the different archetypes that get killed first? But I can't think of what there aren't any words that come up for me that make sense there.
So this is a movie, Robin. Is it not fair if I tell her kind of the plot of the movie a little bit? Is that not fair?
Hey, if you want Rachel to win, that's great.
No, stop.
You can give her the plot. I still don't think she'll get it.
So in New York City, there were these once humans who live in the sewers and grab people and eat humans.
Oh my God. I have absolutely heard this before. I feel like they had a whole episode, or they had like a whole arc of it in Futurama. Leela's one.
Oh, I think you're right.
Oh, gall.
Oh, crap.
But I still can't think of what it stood for.
Robin,
gall.
What does CHUD mean?
Cold-hearted underdogs.
Cold-hearted underdogs. That's
what I got.
Underdogs one word?
I don't think it is, but for my purposes, yes.
For your purposes, no. That is incorrect. Paul, for funsies, tell us what CHUD means.
Cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers.
Well done. Virtual high five to you, Paul.
CHUD. Cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers. CHUD. They're not staying down there anymore.
There was a sequel to this movie, but by all accounts, it's much more of a comedy than a creature feature. However, judging by its title, it sounds more like a stoner flick than anything else. It's called CHUD 2, Bud the CHUD. I've never seen this movie, but I'm guessing from the plot, it revolves around someone trying to give pot brownies to CHUDs to try and get them to mellow out, but then realize that their mistake was that the CHUDs get the munchies.
which would be really bad.
Well, counterintuitive to what they want.
Thank you for explaining the joke to the listeners. Sometimes that's required.
So let me explain further.
Sorry. I don't know this movie. I'm trying to think it in my head. Okay.
Okay. Rachel, this last one in the round is for you. It's called What's This? It's a question about Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
The Nightmare Before Christmas is a cult classic, a holiday must watch, and a triumph in stop motion animation. Here's your question. How many puppets were constructed to represent the characters in the movie? Surely you have that memorized. These are fully formed puppets we're talking about. Is it A, 27, B, 227, C, 2027, or is it D, the personal assistant that was supposed to count this was fired earlier in the day for getting Tim Burton's coffee order wrong, so your guess is as good as mine.
It wasn't 69,000?
Judges? No. Wait, we have a number question and there's no 16... Yeah, I know we've already done two. Okay. Or is it E? 69 puppets.
69, dudes!
I know that they take a lot, but I'm going to say 2,027.
You think there was 2,027 puppets in this movie?
I think they had to use different...
These are fully formed puppets, I said. But is that your answer?
I'm going to say 227.
These are fully formed puppets.
Oh, my God.
227 fully formed puppets? Is that really
what
you think?
That's what I'm guessing. That's what I'm guessing.
Are you sure?
Oh, no.
Why are you letting him mess with
you? No, that's what I'm guessing. Final answer.
Well, I'm glad that you stuck to your guns because that's correct.
Oh, my gosh.
227 fully formed puppets. That doesn't include the estimated over 400 heads of Jack Skellington alone. Still, 227 puppets. That's a ton.
No, it is. It is. But they also had a lot of characters. And so if each one had different things. But yeah, 200 is still a lot.
Yeah. There's a common misconception that Tim Burton directed this movie, probably because the poster says Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas. Actually, this movie, James and the Giant Peach, and Coraline were all directed by Henry Selick, but with the help of his friend, producer, and frequent collaborator, Tim Burton. Burton gets the extra credit on the poster for Nightmare because the story of the characters are all based on a poem that he wrote.
Wow. But
this, I did not know that.
Yeah. This reminds us that it's not just always the big name on the projects that makes it great. There are unsung heroes that make many of the things that we love about Gen X pop culture so special. Thank you, Henry Selick. All right, at the end of round two, Robin, please give us our scoring update.
All right. It was a tie game again there for a second, but then, Rachel, you got this question right, and you pulled ahead a little bit. So we are at 9 points for Rachel and 7 points for Paul. Still a very close game.
Rachel. I got this.
I want a recount because I think that's correct.
No.
Rachel, you have the most points at the end of round two. Congratulations. You and I are going to take a secret trip to the prize vault where you're going to select the prize that the two of you will be playing for in the final round. While we do that, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
The real Ghostbusters will return after these messages.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
If you're enjoying the show so far, please consider giving us a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from, and subscribing for future episodes. The only way a show like this gets anywhere in the podcasting world is by positive reviews and word of mouth amongst friends. So, if you're inclined, please help spread the word about the podcast and share it with that special Gen Xer in your life. We'd love to have you as a friend of the show. Thanks so much!
So who's gonna save a generation? Are you gonna save a
Real Ghostbusters.
The power
struggle.
Okay, the prize has been selected, but before we start round three, now is the last chance to solve the power struggle question, to steal the power, score 20 points, and go first in round three. Remember, you need to name what the clip is from and in the correct order. Let's take our final listen to the power struggle, then you need to give me your answers.
There's a man on the wing of this plane!
right, Rachel, 1 through 5, let's hear your answer.
All right, number 1 is Maneater by A Hall & Oates. Number 2 is Thriller, very end. What? Are you kidding? Oh, that's my God. Incorrect. I was so proud of myself.
What's the rest, Rachel, for fun?
Okay. Number 3 is The Twilight Zone. Number 4 is Psycho. Okay. And the last one is Dead Man's Party by Oingo Boingo.
Well done. 3 out of 5. Ain't bad, but it
that's still as good as I've ever done by myself. So I'm actually impressed with myself, even though I didn't win. All right.
Moral victory for sure. So for everyone listening, clip 1 was Maneater, Hall & Oates, as you said. Clip 2 was, you can hear the knife hands of Freddy Krueger scraping up. This is the scene where he has the giant arms and he's like scraping like the walls or whatever and making that sound. Clip 3 is Twilight Zone. Well done, Rachel, for getting that one. That's a horror movie that you have seen. Friday the 13th, part 2 was where that specific clip was from. But in part 1, so from part 2 on, they use that.
Yeah, beautiful.
But part 1, they didn't. And clip 5 was Dead Man's Party from Oingo Boingo.
All right.
I felt really confident. I'm kind of bummed.
Well, don't be bummed, because you still have the power. And that means you get to go first in round 3. Speaking of which, let's play that right now.
Round 3.
Round 3 is a prize round called Dysfunctional Family Feud. In this final round, I will ask the same 5 survey questions, Family Feud style, to each player in turn, and they need to respond with what they think are the most popular responses from the Gen X timeline. That's the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. These are actual survey questions taken from actual people from Generation X that have been quizzed by the show via our newsletter. The player who has the power, that's you, Paul, gets to answer first, while player 2 is unable to hear their responses. Player 2 will then have to give responses to the same 5 survey questions and beat the other player's score without duplicating any of their answers. Whoever ends up with the most points wins the game and goes on to claim a chance of their prize that the winner of round 2 has selected in secret. Gen Xers, if you'd like to take part in the Dysfunctional Family Feud surveys, sign up for our newsletter on our website, and it'll include a spot for you to reply to upcoming surveys. After the episode, head over to whowillsavegenx.com and get your answers on the show. Let's play Dysfunctional Family Feud. Paul has the power. That means Rachel needs to go into the Phantom Zone. Okay, Paul, you know how this goes. You have one pass. Make sure you use your pass.
Your time will begin after I finish reading the first question.
Not everyone gave out candy to trick-or-treaters. What is something specific that these lunatics gave out instead of candy?
Toothbrushes.
Name a TV show that you remember having a specific Halloween-themed episode.
The Cosby Show.
Are you sure you don't want to pick Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah, I was going to, but...
Question 3. Name a specific witch from a Gen X-era movie or TV show.
What was the lady from Bewitched? Samantha.
Question 4. Name any Gen X song that mentions some kind of monster in it. Please note, Monster Mash is not a Gen X song, and it never, ever needs to be played by anybody ever again, ever, ever, ever.
Thriller. I mean, that's going to be number 1, for sure.
Oh, calling the shot. I like it. And finally, about how many hours did you spend trick-or-treating on Halloween night when you were a kid?
3.
We have recorded Paul's scores. Let's bring Rachel back in from the Phantom Zone. Those are some good answers, Paul.
All right.
My 4th one was Battlestar Galactica.
Shut up. Oh my gosh. All right.
Okay, Rachel, I'm not going to lie. This is going to be tough.
Okay.
Paul gave us some really good answers, but I believe there's enough points if you can get enough number ones to beat them.
Okay.
Rachel, I'm going to read you the same 5 survey questions I asked Paul. You may not duplicate any of his answers. If you do, you'll hear this sound, and I'll ask for another answer. It's a little bit more difficult, so you get 2 passes. Make sure you use your passes.
Your time will begin after I finish reading the first question.
Not everyone gave out candy to trick-or-treaters. What is something specific that these lunatics gave out instead of candy?
Pennies.
Name a TV show that you remember having a specific Halloween-themed episode.
The Smurfs.
Name a specific witch from a Gen X-era movie or TV show.
Samantha Stevens.
Try again.
Elvira.
Name any Gen X song that mentions some kind of monster in it. And please note, Monster Mash is not a Gen X song, no matter what anyone tells you.
Dead Man's Party.
And finally, about how many hours did you spend trick-or-treating on Halloween night when you were a kid?
3.
Try again.
2.
All right, let's go to the scores. I asked you, not everyone gave out candy to trick-or-treaters. What is something specific that these lunatics gave out instead of candy?
Rachel, you gave us pennies, which was our number one answer, worth 32 points.
Wow.
And Paul, you gave us toothbrushes, which was worth 19 points.
Should have said apples.
So going into round 3, Rachel had 9 points and Paul had 7 points. We're going to add that to your total for question 1, which brings the score to Rachel with 41 points and Paul with 26 points. So Rachel has a 15-point lead going into question 2.
We get information for these surveys from our listeners via our newsletter, and we get some interesting replies. So I'd like to get a few honorable mentions and a couple of shout-outs for these entertaining answers. Honorable mention goes to someone who said, pecans? Can you imagine just getting a handful of pecans in your trick-or-treat bag? Somebody said, a sense of our fleeting childhood. I don't know how you put that in a sack, but something you carry with you the rest of your life, regardless. Somebody said just Coke, and we're assuming they meant like a can of soda, but it was the 80s, so, you know, who knows? Yeah. And finally, someone told us a story of how they lived next to a dude who worked at the Wonder Bread factory, and he handed out mini loaves of Wonder Bread samples on Halloween, if you can believe
Woo.
That.
I would have taken that.
No one said razor blades?
That's a myth. That never happened. BS. It doesn't get any more suburban America than getting a loaf of white bread on Halloween, I guess.
Yeah, yes.
Question 2 was, name a TV show that you remember having a specific Halloween-themed episode.
Rachel, you gave us The Smurfs, which didn't make our list. 0 points. Paul, you gave us The Cosby Show, which also didn't make our list and was also worth 0 points.
Terrible. I did not.
I should have said Battlestar Galactica.
Well, you both should have said My Parents was The Simpsons, our number one answer. I cannot believe we watched that show every weekend growing up.
Okay, but just to be clear, I'm still winning, right?
Well, Paul is 15 points behind.
So. Okay.
They have a new Halloween special every year for the past 3 decades. On The Simpsons.
I knew that. We knew that. Of course we knew that.
Honorable mentions for this one go to The X-Files. But to be fair, how can you really tell it's a Halloween episode, right? And another person said The Incredible Hulk. Now, I've seen every episode of that show, and I couldn't think of a single episode that was specifically a Halloween episode. Could be just my memory. But I think I would remember an episode where David Banner gets angry and turns into the Hulk because someone gave him circus peanuts while he's out trick-or-treating.
Circus peanuts?
That would get me
mad. Someone said the Hulk and not the Cosby Show?
Unbelievable. Question 3 was, name a specific witch from a Gen X era movie or TV show.
Rachel, you gave us Elvira, worth 22 points.
What? Oh my gosh, I can't believe that.
And Paul, you gave us Samantha Stevens, which was our number one answer, worth 26 points. And that means Paul is now only 11 points behind.
Woohoo! As it should be.
Honorable mentions go to Evil Lynn from He-Man, Hagar from Voltron. One person said Oprah for some reason. And we had 3 replies that mentioned witches from The Wizard of Oz. Yeah, I know we all grew up watching that show, but it was from the freaking 30s.
Yeah.
So, by no standard can a pre-World War II movie be counted in the Gen X timeline.
Like
I'm sorry.
3 generations ago. Yeah.
Question 4 was, name any Gen X song that mentions some kind of monster in it. And we excluded the Monster Mash for obvious reasons.
Rachel, you gave us Dead Man's Party, which was worth 16 points. And Paul, you gave us Thriller, which was our number one answer, worth 29 points. So now Rachel is 2 points behind.
Oh, no.
It is a close game. Shout outs to those who didn't understand the assignment, and they replied with one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. And of course, we had to have that one person out there who said, mother effing Monster Mash. Gen Xers, you can't do nothing with them. And it all comes down to our final question, which was, about how many hours did you spend trick-or-treating on Halloween night when you were a kid?
Rachel, you gave us 2 hours, which was worth 22 points. This means Paul needs 21 points to win the game.
But let's see what Gen X said.
Survey said!
Paul, you gave us 3 hours. Our number one answer.
Let's go. 30
points. Congratulations.
New time champion.
Oh my gosh. I'm never going to end of this.
Paul. Congratulations, Paul. You are doing your part to save Generation X. Well done. Rachel, unfortunately, that means you lost this episode. I'm sorry things didn't go quite your way on the show today. But did you have a good time anyways?
Yeah, I had a great time. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for being here, guys.
It was inevitable. Just going to say.
A couple of shout outs for this last question was, until the porch lights went out, which is also another good one.
Yeah.
But I think finally the most Gen X answer was, how long did we spend trick-or-treating? However long it took to fill up a pillowcase full of candy.
Yeah. Well, I thought we were all very optimistic taking out a pillowcase.
Right.
But we all had them.
It's the only way to go.
Yeah.
Rookies had the plastic pumpkins.
Those are for babies.
Or the McDonald's things. Remember
that?
Yeah. Forget that. Oh, those little boo buckets or whatever?
Yeah, boo buckets. Yep, that's right.
For winning the game, I offer a chance of a prize by me placing bids on my eBay watch list on the winner's behalf. I will place multiple bids on the listing chosen in secret by Rachel until I'm the high bidder. And if that bid holds up until the end of the auction, then I'll buy that item for Paul and have it shipped out to you. Good luck. Let's take a look at all the prizes that Rachel had to pick from, and then we'll see what was chosen. The first item we have in the prize vault is... We have a loot crate item of a Nightmare on Elm Street Freddy glove that's a chopsticks. Picture a Freddy's knife glove doing a peace sign and then extend those two claws about 12 inches and you have about a fair representation of what these chopsticks look like. It's pretty rad. Next is a rare 1980s E.T. the Extraterrestrial hand-painted ceramic sculpture. The paint job is far better than anything I could do, but the chest of E.T. here has four large red holes in it, as if someone was trying to turn off the heart light and shot E.T. about four times in the heart. It's beautiful and disturbing. We mentioned the Grateful Dead in this episode, and to honor them, we are offering this, what else, but a tie-dye t-shirt. It's not an official Grateful Dead t-shirt with their logo or anything, but we figure any tie-dye shirt instantly becomes a Grateful Dead merch once it's created. This next one is a Twin Peaks Agent Dale Cooper beer cozy. So someone took a beer cozy, and they painted Kyle MacLachlan's face on a beer cozy, and you get two of them, so it's pretty rad. Next is from our eBay friend... Suzanne Fosty -5, terrible eBay name, beautiful products. She's the one that paints these little cute scenes from Gen X culture. We have this hand-painted scene from It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. It depicts the moment when Charlie Brown gets a rock, and it's an iconic moment for every generation of trick-or-treaters. She has a ton of these great Halloween themes painted up right now on eBay. There were so many to pick from. We ended up on this one. It is adorable. She has a Hello Kitty as a mummy. It's just the cutest thing you'll ever see. Just saying. Somebody thought that the thing eBay was really missing was this 3-pin lot of vintage hotel pins from various hotels and motels. They have both Nights Inn and Days Inn in this lot. We were hoping something from the Overlook Hotel to celebrate The Shining, but we're going to have to settle for Best Western. This next item, you can rock out with your dock out with these novelty signed guitar picks by Don Dokken of Dokken. Dude, if we can get Don Dokken for our Talking Dokken podcast, it'd be rocking.
Oh my gosh.
Next is this hardback book called The Black Stallion and Satan. This is like an old-timey book. And the jacket reads, Satan has won the triple crown and a race between the Black Stallion and Satan is inevitable. Dude couldn't beat Johnny in a fiddle playing contest. I doubt he could outrace the Black Stallion. I'm just saying. But you'll have to read it to find out for yourself. And finally, if you don't want any of these items, we had a holdover from previous prize vaults. And once again, we have the dried booger that looks like a Klingon bird of prey from Star Trek. So that lunatic is still posting it. And we're going to put it in the prize vault until he stops.
My God.
Rachel, sorry. Please tell us the item you picked and why.
I picked the Charlie Brown one.
That's what I would have picked.
You would have? Oh, I'm so glad. Because it's just adorable and clever. And it's just such an iconic little scene. Oh, that yeah. I recognized it immediately. It was cute.
I'm glad because I had read the Black Stallion book and I really liked the painting.
You read Black Stallion versus Satan?
Oh, yeah.
Who wins the race?
Yeah. Could it be Satan?
did not.
I did too.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
Are you lying?
Oh, I had all of the Black Stallion.
Oh, yeah, you did. That's true. That is true.
And of course the Black Stallion wins. Why is that even a question?
Let's bid this sucker up. Hey, we're the top bidder at $5.95 plus $1 shipping. This is how you know that this lady's legit. She doesn't overcharge you for shipping. A dollar for shipping for this thing. Well done, Suzanne Fosty negative five.
Awesome.
If this bid holds up until the end of the auction, then I'll buy it for you. Good luck.
Yay.
So I just have one question. How many points did I win by so I know how many points I have to sleep downstairs? Or how many days?
Well, you won by 12 points, Dad. I guess it's a couple
my
weeks.
My goodness, it'd be 2 weeks.
I'd like to give an overdue shout-out to Matt Ozzy Osborne, who is a member of our 69 Dudes tier on Patreon. You know, hearing that out loud, we really should have workshopped that name a little bit more, judges. In any event, thank you, Matt. We appreciate you for helping us make our dreams come a little bit closer to the reality of making this podcast a full-time gig and bringing you episodes more frequently. Matt, here's a sound clip in your honor that we hope you especially like.
Charles. Hold on, wait a minute, wait 1 second. I think I'm onto something here. This is pure snow. It's everywhere. Have you any idea what the street value of this mountain is?
Before we go, I just want to say thank you for checking out this episode. We know you have a plethora of choices for your podcasting enjoyment, and it is simply amazing that you chose to spend a little time on our show. Thank you. If you like what we're doing here and you'd like to contribute directly to the show, we have a Patreon account set up at patreon.com/whowillsavegenx. At our Patreon site, you'll see special offers for becoming a contributor to the show, so take advantage of those if you are interested. If you'd like, you can head over to whowillsavegenx.com and learn all about the ways you can do your part to save Gen X from being forgotten. But if you're feeling like a slacker at the moment, you can just email me, and I promise to write you back with all the details you could ever want. You can reach me, Robin, or any of the judges at whowillsavegenx@gmail.com. In either case, thanks so much for listening. Well, that's it for this episode. We hope you've had a fun and safe and spooky Halloween this year, and we'll share this episode with that special Gen Xer in your life and subscribing to the show for future episodes where we will once again ask the question, who will save Generation X? Later.
Well, another Halloween has come and gone.
Yes, Charlie Brown.
I don't understand it. I went trick-or-treating and all I got was a bag full of rocks. I suppose you spend all night in the pumpkin patch. And the great pumpkin never showed up?
Nope.
And that's when the chuds came at me.
Of course you'll have a bad impression if you only focus on the pimps and the chuds.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.